Welcome to the Skinny Podcast, where we talk all things dermatology. I'm Katherine Hackett.
And I'm Terry Rudd.
Let's start with a quick reminder. Our monthly podcast is available free on iTunes. Search for us using the keywords The Skinny, Dermatology.
Here are the stories we have for you this month. First, we'll hear from a dermatologist who is also an HIV expert on how Kaposi's sarcoma and squamous cell carcinoma are continuing to plague HIV patients in unexpected ways.
Then we'll hear about an analysis that assesses the value of medical videos on YouTube.
And we'll give you a roundup of the top dermatology news of the summer.
Later in the program, cosmetic counterhost Dr. Lily Talakoub discusses the increase of acne in adult patients.
And finally, Dr. Alan Rockoff reminds us that children see things differently, especially when it comes to removing mollusca. Let's get started. Catherine?
The International AIDS Conference convened in the United States this summer for the first time in 22 years. Now an old problem from that era is new again. The Skinny's Sherry Boschert consulted an expert to find out more.
With the emergence of antiretrovirals, many people believed that dermatology diseases and HIV would be a thing of the past. But today, only 28% of people with HIV in the United States have suppressed the virus on medications. And even those with a suppressed viral load have chronic inflammation that is taking a toll in surprising ways. I sat down with Dr. Toby Maurer, founder of the HIV Dermatology Clinic at San Francisco General Hospital.
Mostly for us, we've been concerned with Kaposi's sarcoma and malignancies like squamous cell carcinoma.
From the early days of the AIDS epidemic.
Yes, from the early days, but now we're seeing KS happen in persons who have been suppressed. And they have Kaposi's sarcoma, and that's interesting, worrisome, points to, again, the effects of chronic inflammation, might be aging patients in an abnormal sense, and we're seeing what looks like classical KS, which we would normally see in older Mediterranean men. The problem is that these guys aren't older or Mediterranean, but they may be aging in an irregular way. Same thing with squamous cell carcinoma, and what I'm talking about is squamous cell carcinoma that is recurrent or secondary primary squamous cell carcinoma. And again, is that an effect of chronic aging or chronic inflammation? Is there something going on there? Or just chronic sun exposure, don't know. But again, we're seeing this happen in younger patients at a higher incidence than we would expect compared to a cohort of HIV negative patients.
What do you see as the future challenges of HIV in dermatology?
We're very concerned with what's going on globally. Again, I think we started to see, well, what are the ideas that we could bring, the ideas that we've had for 20 years that we could bring to the global world, but instead what we're now figuring out is that that which is happening in the global world can answer many questions that we have had. So it's a very nice two-way street, we didn't really expect that interchange of information.
Dr. Maurer has received research funding from Pfizer, which makes drugs for HIV.
Moving now to technology. YouTube is a treasure trove of informational videos. At the same time, no one is vetting the material. Dr. Ashish Bhatia of the Dermatology Institute in Naperville, Illinois, took a look at the pros and cons of medical videos on YouTube. Nassim Miller has more.
Dr. Bhatia says if a picture is worth 1,000 words, a video is worth 100,000 or more. If used properly, medical videos can greatly enhance the learning experience for students and medical professionals, he said. But the medical community hasn't fully caught on with the online video movement. Right now, YouTube is a mixed bag, featuring patient videos, marketing videos, and videos of procedures without narration or step-by-step instructions. And each of the dermatology specialties use the site differently. Videos of Mohs surgery are mostly posted by dermatologists or the American College of Mohs Surgery. In contrast, videos of wart removal or cyst excisions are posted by both physicians and patients. There are also paid sites for medical videos that are more organized, but they don't promote a back-and-forth communication like YouTube, according to Dr. Bhatia. Dermatologists have generally been late adopters when it comes to posting medical videos, according to Dr. Bhatia. The two specialties currently leading the field in high-quality videos are gynecology and plastic surgery. Dr. Bhatia is an unpaid author and editor of some of the video content on virtualdermsurge.com.
Now to the top news of the summer. Mary Ellen Schneider takes us through the headlines you won't want to miss.
Drug samples found to sway acne prescribing was one of the most viewed stories on our website. The news article highlighted a study showing that newly diagnosed acne patients were almost 75% more likely to be prescribed branded medications if the clinic where they were treated offered free drug samples. That's compared with 17% of patients at a clinic not offering samples. Another popular article on the Skin and Allergy News website was Dr. Leslie Bauman's Cosmeceutical Critique column on red light, where she noted that adding red light to blue light can help speed the resolution of inflammatory acne lesions. In clinical trials may overestimate benefits of psoriasis drugs, the results of a new comparative effectiveness study indicated that common psoriasis treatments aren't as effective in the real world as they are in clinical trials. Psoriatic arthritis screening tools are also lacking, according to another study. In psoriatic arthritis screening tests deemed inadequate, researchers tested three popular self-administered screening questionnaires for psoriatic arthritis and found that all three performed poorly when it came to differentiating between psoriatic arthritis, other arthritis, and fibromyalgia. And lastly, in the news article titled Expert, Reclaim Radiation for Skin Cancer, Dr. William Roth said that an elderly patient with basal cell or squamous cell carcinoma on the face or leg can be a good candidate for radiation therapy.
Now it's time for our monthly cosmetic counter segment with Dr. Lily Talakoub. In this segment, she discusses the causes and treatment options for adult acne.
One of my patients one time said, "If I earn wrinkles, I shouldn't be earning pimples." However, we've seen a rapid increase in adult acne. Patients with adult acne oftentimes present with large, cystic, painful nodules underneath the skin, around the chin, the jaw, the back of the neck. These acne lesions are oftentimes triggered by hormones in the body. The hormones fluctuate around the period and also can increase around perimenopause or menopause. Hormonal acne is oftentimes very difficult to treat and very frustrating for patients. Approximately 45% of adult women between the ages of 21 and 30 develop hormonal acne, about 25% between the ages of 31 and 40, and about 15% between the ages of 41 and 50. Hormonal acne has several causes. The hormones around the period can induce the oil glands to overproduce oil and produce these cystic nodules, as well as a diet rich in hormonal foods such as dairy and non-organic meats. Oftentimes, oral treatment is required for hormonal acne. Topical treatments alone do not often treat the problem. The treatment courses for our patients with hormonal acne include oral contraceptive pills as well as oral medicines like spironolactone that block the hormones and induce these triggers. In addition, topical agents can be used with the oral treatments. Topical agents such as topical dapsone, topical azelaic acid are very effective when used in combination with oral treatments. However, agents that we use for teenage acne, such as benzoyl peroxide and retinoic acid, oftentimes do not help. I counsel my patients with hormonal acne that this is a long-term treatment requiring oral medicine in addition to a topical regimen, as well as dietary changes to produce effective results for hormonal acne. It is a frustrating problem, and it is very much increased in the last decade or so.
And now, from his office in Brookline, Massachusetts, Dr. Alan Rockoff reminds us that sometimes a little extra explanation is in order when treating children.
Kids have a concrete way of thinking that often leaves us adults scratching our heads. When my daughter, now all grown up, was 3 years old, we planned a family plane trip. The airplane will fly us through the sky, I explained. How will we get on the plane? She asked. I told her. She asked again. I told her again. She asked again. Why don't you think we'll be able to get on? I asked her. The airplane is up in the sky, she replied. Well, she had a point. Think about it. I thought of this conversation the other day when Janine came in with a few mollusca on her face. Because Janine is 6 and I had already frozen a molluscum off her nose at her last visit, I figured we'd have no trouble. Now she had a few new ones on her chin, too. Janine is ready for you to take these off, said her mother confidently. I don't want him to take them off, said Janine. Uh-oh. Her mother and I stared at her. But Janine, I said, I already froze this one off last month, pointing to the one on her nose. I put the cotton stick on it with the cold stuff, remember? Oh, sure, you can do that, said Janine. That wasn't so bad. But you just said you didn't want them taken off, said her mother. I don't want him to take them off, said Janine, motioning with her finger to show someone plucking them right out of her chin with their fingers. But freezing them is okay. Got that? Think about it. This is Dr. Alan Rockoff reminding you to access your inner child whenever you want to get on a plane and take off.
That's it for us. We'd like to thank this month's contributing reporter, Sherry Boschert. Our producers are Nassim Miller and Mary Ellen Schneider. And this podcast comes together under the guidance of Skin and Allergy News Managing Editor, Amy Pfeiffer. I'm Terry Rudd.
And I'm Catherine Hackett. Don't forget to visit our website, skinandallergynews.com. And remember that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes for free. Just search for The Skinny. We'll be back with more news in October.